not knowing he cares. Lord, let me tell them about your compassion. Lord, where can I be used? Lord, let me serve. Lord, let me follow. Give me a place and a purpose to fill. Teach me to love. Teach me to follow. Teach me to do your will.
Lord, let me serve wherever you need me. Make me a vessel through which you can flow. Give me a mission, a place of fulfillment. Lord, where can I be used?
Lord, let me serve. Lord, let me follow. Give me a place and a purpose to fill. Teach me to love. Teach me to follow. Teach me to do your will. Use me to do your will.
All right, thank you, ensemble. And you know, we all ought to think about what they sung about. And we ought to find out what God's will is for your life. Find it and do it. It's the only way to be happy and enjoying the Christian life. Most miserable people I know are believers who know not the will of God for their life and are just meandering through life and just trying to make their way. God's got a great and blessing and blessed life for you if you'll just find out. So how do I find out? Ask Him. Hey, if I want something, if I see somebody that has something, I say, listen, can I have this or can I have one of these? I ask them for it. I don't expect them to just reach out there and give it to me. I go and find out, hey, can I take this? Can I have this? And you know, find out what God's will is for your life. Put it to practice in your life, I promise you. You will be blessed. Joshua 24, if you would please. Joshua chapter 24. For those of you that are visiting with us, we've been studying and preaching Sunday nights about ministry. Our theme this year is ministering to the multitudes, the compassion of Christ. Church, I want to preach to you tonight on what may be the greatest ministry that you can participate in. So, oh boy, I can't wait. I want to participate in a great ministry. This may be the greatest ministry that we can all, each one of us, can participate in. And sometimes it may be the most overlooked ministry that you can participate in. Joshua 24, if you would please, in verse number 14. Would you stand together with me? We're going to read verses 14 and verses 15 together. Now we're going to read it the verses together. We're going to pause at the punctuation marks to make sure that we stay together. So we're going to read out loud these two verses of Joshua 24, beginning in verse number 14. Would you read with me? Begin with me in verse number 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want you to look at verse number 15, the last statement, because everyone in here, in your family, you're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. Either you're going to serve the gods of the Amorites, or you're going to serve the living God. And he said, you know what? You go ahead and choose who you're going to serve. But he said, as for me, Joshua, and my house, which I'm assuming is his wife, his family, he said, we, which I'm assuming they all agree, we will serve the Lord. And so I want to take this verse and this commission that Joshua made here in Joshua chapter 24. And tonight's subject will be the ministry of the family. The ministry of the family, which may be probably the greatest ministry that you may have in your entire lifetime, is ministering to those whom you live with every day of your life. Now, Father, would you take what shall be preached tonight, what shall be proclaimed from the Word of God, and Holy Ghost, would you move in such a way tonight to open our heart and spirit to what you would have us to learn, that when we leave this place tonight, that we might leave encouraged, that we might leave exhorted, that we might leave instructed concerning the truths of Scripture. Now, Father, the family is so important to the church. The church is only as strong as the families that make up that church. And yet, Lord, so many times the family can be neglected in so many different areas. Would you help us to learn about this particular, this important ministry that we have right here at our fingertips? In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. You can be seated. The family unit. What's happening to it today? Can I say that many families, the family unit is dissolving right before our very eyes? Marriages are dissolving after 2 and 3 years. Children are growing up indifferent to God, parents, and the church. Why are so many homes drowning in stress and despair, seeing no hope for the future and no help for the present? You see, where's all the American clean-cut, proper, and ethical family unit today? Where is it, the group that we learned about, most of us, if you're my age as children, when we could sit in front of a TV set and actually view shows that promoted family values and promoted family ethics and promoted morality? You say, like what shows? Like Leave It to Beaver. Shows that promoted family values. Shows that actually show the kids obeying their parents and saying yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, instead of yeah and nope. Amen? Where are those days gone? You see, a lot of these family shows in the 50s and 60s, and a lot of times by the 70s, you can't hardly find them anymore. Why? Because that's where you can almost go back and put your family, where the family unit began to deteriorate in the 60s and the 70s, and it got worse in the 80s and 90s, and look where we are today. We're in trouble. Why? Because of the neglect of the ministry to the families. So what happens today is if you go on and or try to sit down and try to watch anything today on TV, what you get is nudity, cursing, gang signs, and violence. Those don't promote family values. Those don't promote family. We get shows like The Simpsons and King of the Hill shoved down our throat, or even perverted shows like How I Met Your Mother or 2 and a Half Men. And they try shoving this junk down our throat. And let me tell you something. Satan is very good at scrambling what the family roles are. And so a lot of these shows are promoting non-family, non-biblical values. No wonder our families are being dissolved. No wonder the divorce rate is sky high, and teen runaways are sky high, and teen suicide is astronomical. Why it's being promoted today all through our society. But may I say, families, and I want you to listen very carefully, a lot of times we blame Satan for a lot of things. It's our own fault. You hear me? We blame the devil for a lot of things that is our fault within the family unit. And may I say to you that some of the blame, some of the fault, and some of the shame lies at the feet. And I want you to listen to me, at the feet of every family member. I'm talking about mama, daddy, and kids. You see, the thing about it is, sure, the Bible does teach, you know what, that the mama and the daddy are the authority in the home, and the father leads the home. We'll look at that in just a moment. But may I say, fathers, we must shoulder some of the responsibility. Mamas, you must shoulder some of this responsibility. And I want every kid to look at me, yes, kids, you got to shoulder some of the responsibility as well for the collapse of the family unit today. You see, we try to help everyone else save their family while we sacrifice our own. You hear me? We go about trying to save everybody else's marriage, everybody else's kids. Listen to me. God didn't design ministry for you to let your own family go to try to save somebody else's. We'll go out of our way to try to minister to other families, and I'm for ministering to other families. But you know what? It's not scriptural, nor is it biblical, nor is it of God for you to leave your own family destitute and try to go save somebody else's. You see, God gave you a family. God gave you a home before He ever gave you a job to minister. You see, we've got to see the priority of making our home a ministry in itself. Listen to me, church. Your family does count. Your family is important. Your family is priority. And your family, listen to me, is a ministry. It's a ministry in itself. And listen to me. For some here tonight, it will be your greatest ministry. It will be the greatest ministry that you will ever have when you face God one day about how you ministered to the people that you live with every day of your life. I remember growing up, now some of you young ladies won't understand this, but growing up with brothers in our home, you see, the thing about it is, it's okay within a family unit for brothers. You know, we kind of wrestle around and put each other in a headlock, hit each other, beat each other up. Hey, it's okay for brothers to beat each other up, but listen, nobody else messed with my brother. Now, I can beat him up, but nobody else is going to beat him up. I remember many times to where, man, my oldest brother and I, boy, we'd get all kinds of, and I know some of you ladies think this is awful, but when my mother wasn't home, we'd get in room, we'd slap box. Y'all know, you guys know what slap boxing is? And I'm talking about, man, I'm talking about going at it too. Now, the thing about it is, we could slap the fire out of each other and slap box, but let me tell you something. Once you walked outside the home and a brother picked up and someone was picking on your brother, let me tell you something, man, it was you, your brother, against them. It's okay for you to beat them up. Nobody else can, though. You know what that's called? That's family. That's just how family operates. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is that your family is a ministry. And church, listen, if we neglect our family and lose out on the opportunity to fulfill what may be our greatest ministry, then we've ignored God's will and plan for the home in Scripture. You know what Joshua said? As for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, you know what? It's a ministry. Church, can I remind you that in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, and I'm going to make a comparison here in just a second. But Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know what his profit will be? Nothing. Now, may I use that verse and just paraphrase something here to you? What does it profit a man, a woman, a child, if you gain the whole world and lose your own family? What profit do you have? You'll never realize what you have until you no longer have it. You never realize the value of mom and dad, kids, until you don't have a mom and dad anymore. You never realize mamas and daddies, the importance and the value of those kids until you don't have them anymore. Many of you have gone through the empty nest syndrome. Your kids are out of the house. You know, and as you looked at it, you thought, man, this is going to be tough. This is going to be really tough, you know, for the kids getting out of the house and stuff. You know, and we may rejoice for a little while, but I'm telling you, after a while, you're sitting there and you think, man, I'm telling you, sure is quiet in here. Sure is quiet in here. And then you think, man, life, we need to make some racket. You see, it's tough, but you never realize what you have until you no longer have it. That's a reason that, church, we've got to take seriously this ministry of the family. The family unit is under attack as probably as much today as it ever has been in the history of the world. And I believe the reason it is because Satan knows that he has but a short time. By the way, he knows the signs also. He sees the signs of the time also. And one of the things that he has got a grip on, one of the things he seems to be getting a stronghold on, is getting inside the family and tearing families up from the inside out. And may I say to you, it doesn't matter whose family it is. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to him. Now, what I want to do quickly tonight, church, is just give you some things here. First of all, I want to give you some pitfalls to family ministry. Okay, some pitfalls. You're talking about some things that you just absolutely throw a wet blanket on the ministering within the family. These will do it every single time. May I say, first of all, the first pitfall to family ministering, there are three words I want to give you. The first word is the word hypocrisy. Amen. I said the first word, if you want to throw a wet blanket on ministering to your family and having a family that honors God, let hypocrisy creep in. I'm talking about assuming false appearance. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about living one way outside the church and living another way inside the church. I'm talking about going home and using God's name in vain in front of your family and then have the gall to come in church and sit and say amen. Your family knows that. It's kind of like the story I heard, the funeral that the pastor was conducting. The mama and the kids were sitting there on the front pew and the casket was open and the pastor was up here speaking all these wonderful things about this man and how wonderful he was and how great a father he was and how great a husband he was. And about that time, the mama elbowed her older son and said, son, go up there and see, fetch your daddy in that casket. Now, what I'm saying to you is hypocrisy will destroy the ability for you to minister in your home. Taking on that false appearance. By the way, let me tell you something, church. Hypocrisy has probably caused more casualties in homes, and I'm talking about in Christian homes. Hey, the thing about it is, you know what? There are kids out there in the world that their family has crumbled. Mom and dad are going all different directions, and you say, but that's a bad home. Yeah, but you know what? At least the kids know it's a bad home. They know it. And there's no hypocrisy going on. Because you know what? Their parents never darkened the door of a church. The Bible's never read in their home. So hypocrisy will destroy, and it's destroying Christian homes, and it's affecting our ability to minister within our home. Number two, another wet blanket, inconsistency. Inconsistency. That's just not being uniform. That's contrary. At different times, that's like doing something part of the time and then not doing it other times. That's like coming to church one service and then not coming three services. Amen, preacher. Inconsistency is destroying the ability for us to minister in our homes like we need to minister. Folks, we've got to be consistent. We've got to be faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ. If we want our family to be a Christian home, Hypocrisy's got to go. Inconsistency's got to go. May I say, mamas and daddies, today your kids are watching. And do you know that the only thing that they're going to know about how and what parenting is all about is what you teach them by your consistency or your inconsistency? May I say, number three, another pitfall, another wet blanket to throw on family, the inside the family, and as far as ministering, hypocrisy is destroying us. Inconsistency is destroying us. And may I say, compromise. Compromise. That's giving up, giving in, making concessions. Listen, mamas and daddies, listen carefully to me. Let me try to help you with something. You know, when our kids were real small, we were saying, thus saith the Lord. Didn't we need to read our Bible? Boy, I'm telling you, we were having all kinds of wonderful devotion times together when they were small. All of a sudden, they got a little bit bigger. When all of a sudden, they now could look mom and daddy in the eye. They were as tall as mom and daddy was. And they're saying, you know what? I don't think I want to have devotion tonight. Okay, well, you run on to your room, and we'll have it by ourselves. You see, we change. And a lot of times compromise, listen, we compromise when we are challenged. And when we are challenged, many times out of fear, now here's what we think. We think, oh, I've got to let my children have their way, because if I don't, then they're gonna go astray. Hey, listen, if you let them have their way, it's anti-Scripture and anti-God. They're going to go their way anyway. Hypocrisy, inconsistency, compromise. You know, when you go back and examine Bible families, you know what you ought to do one day as a study? You ought to just take time in your Bible study and devotions and spend about 6 months and go back and do nothing but study families in the Bible. And you will find that the families that seem to have everything in line, that seem to be consistent, that seem to be blessed of God, you will find that those that had the Christ-like type atmosphere usually were able to avoid hypocrisy, inconsistency, and compromise. But those that struggled with their relationships, whether it be with husband and wife, others, their children, are usually those who could not resist and who could not avoid those three pitfalls. Well, if you can avoid them, if you can get those three things out of your home, listen, you know what you can have? You can minister to one another and you can have balance in your home. But these are monsters, church. You hear me? Family members, young couples, hypocrisy, inconsistency, and compromise are monsters. And they're gobbling up families left and right. You go back and read 2 Kings chapter 12 all the way through chapter 25. You'll find they're the sons of the kings. And you'll usually find that the sons of the kings acted upon the lifestyle of their father. Now, from time to time, you'd get a rotten king that would produce a good son. Or you'd get a good king that would produce a rotten son. But for a whole, usually when you go back and study them, you'll find that most of the kings fell in one of these pitfalls. And you know what? When you go back and read that, you know one of the things that you will read over and over about the kings? That they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. The ones that did evil, you know what? The Bible talked about that they sinned after the sins of Jeroboam over and over, or they sinned after the fathers of the kings of Israel. And they, listen, many of them did not take down the high places. Many of them didn't drive out the giants out of their life, and their kids saw it. And the compromise many times turned their kids, their sons that took over rulership, became evil kings. So there are pitfalls to family ministering: hypocrisy, inconsistency, and compromise. Now, what I'd like to do now is move on, number two, and talk to you about the core to family ministry. Okay? I want to talk to you for a moment about the core to family ministry. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Now, this first thing that I want to address, church, is very, very important for both mom, dad, and kids. Ephesians chapter 5. Look, if you would, in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, that sounds, you know, like God has already got it all laid out. All we got to do is just plug into it. Amen? Look in chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You say, why? For this is right. It's the right thing to do. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When you go over and you'll find also over in Colossians chapter 1, it talks about their fathers, about not provoking your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. All right? Now, you say, preacher, where are we going with this? Well, the first thing, the core to family ministry. All right? If you want to minister to one another in your home, this is essential. Number one, everyone must fulfill their God-given role. Everyone must fulfill their God-given role. Now, if you say, well, in God's given role in the family, I got shafted. All right, well, then you take that up with God. Because he's the one that gave the role and what and how we're to fulfill that role. He said, man, as a kid, I'm kind of low on the totem pole. Yeah, and there's a reason for it. You men say, man, I'm kind of high on the totem pole. Yeah, and there's a reason for that, and we better start fulfilling that role. There's a reason God made you the head of the home, men. Ladies, there's a reason God said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Why? Because there has to be some form of unity. There has to be some form of sanity going on in the home. You can't have everybody running the house. And that's the reason that, man, I tell you, it's disheartening today to see what is written, what's on TV, and I'm telling you, I almost have a nervous breakdown when I see some of these shows where the kids come in here and talk to their parents like they're dogs. I can't watch that stuff, folks. I can't. I almost have a nervous breakdown. You know why? Because Satan is very good trying to scramble egg the roles in the home. So you got shows that promote kids running the home. You got shows promote women running the home. You got shows promoting men as the weaker vessel. And that is totally contrary to Scripture. So everybody has to fulfill their role. The world is confusing the family roles. Kids are running a home. Fathers are stay-home parents. Mamas are working 12 hours a day to provide. Listen to me, the family can be a great ministry if you just follow the pattern. Just follow the design pattern. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. There's a lot of things I don't like in life. But you know what? There's a reason that they're there. When I go buy something at the store and I open that package up and I thought, man, look at all that. If I had made this, I wouldn't have made so many parts. Well, problem is, I didn't make it. And you know what? They have a set of instructions in there that shows you how to put the item together. Now, we can either follow the instructions or you can throw the instructions away and try to put it together yourself. But may I say to you that God has given us an instruction of how to have the right kind of family that we're supposed to have. And if we'll just follow the instructions, you know what? Every screw will be in place. Every nut will be in place. Everything will be right where it needs to be. Just follow the instructions. If every member of the family will just fill their role, daddies fill your role, mamas fill your role, and kids fill your role. And that means yes, sir, and no, sir. That means yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. That don't mean, huh? What? Yeah? Doesn't mean any of that. Let me tell you something. You know where I would be today if I had told my dad, yeah? Hey, my mom's 5'2", but you know where I would be today if I told my mom, yeah? Or she addressed me and I said, what? Now, like I said, my mom was 5'2", and my parents were not trained in church in child rearing or child discipline. She said, what did they use to discipline you? Whatever was handy. Sometimes it was a broom. And by the way, I remember as a teenage boy, I was about 16 years old, my mom acquainted me with a broom handle. I thought, you know, it's about time me to stand up to this woman. She's 5'2". I was about 5'6", 5'7", 5'8", something like that, 10th, 11th grade. So I stood up. So help me, folks. As soon as I spoke back to her, in one motion, she reached, grabbed a broom, and whacked me up. Listen, I'm telling you, the next thing I know, I said it, and I was in a meteor shower. That's all I remember. And she said, don't you ever, ever talk to me like that again. And you know what? I didn't. Well, all I'm saying to you today is simply this. Everyone, if you're going to have the core to the family ministry, everyone, fulfill your role. Fulfill your role. Do what God's created you to do in that family. Now, this one may sound simplistic, but it's important. Very important. Here's number two, the core of family ministry. Not only does everyone need to fill their role, number two, make sure that everybody in the family is saved. Man, what a great ministry. Just ministering to your family members to make sure that everybody's saved. Now, parents, those of you that have small children, I want you to look up here, and I want to mention something to you because my wife and I went through this also with our kids. When you got little kids, you know, and they're 18 months old, 2 years old, let me say to all of our young couples, don't panic, okay? Don't try to get your kids saved when they're 18 months and 2 years old. You say, but my kid's smart. I understand that, but you listen to me. A person cannot be biblically saved that does not understand the facts. Amen. Amen. They got to understand the truth. How can they be saved if they don't even understand what sin is? So don't push the matter. Listen, the day will come, and when it's time, they'll tell you. They'll tell you. Or they'll start asking questions. So stop pushing the note. Let God convict them. Let God draw them to Him. What a great ministry. Just making sure that everybody's saved in the family. And by the way, that could be extended family as well. What a great ministry. I had the joy in my family of leading almost. I have a brother that was a believer at the time when I, or just shortly after I got saved. And so together, we pretty much led most of my family members to Christ. Now, in my immediate family, I only know of three that I believe are not saved. I've got a nephew, a niece, and a brother-in-law that I'm almost 100% that none of those three are saved. But pretty much all the rest of them, all my brothers and sisters are married. All of them have kids. And I have either me, my wife, or one of my kids have led almost every single one of them to Christ. You know what that is? What a ministry. What a great ministry it is to minister to families. But listen, make sure that everyone in the family is saved. And let me say something quick right here, mamas and daddies. If your child comes to you and they've already made a public profession, they may have even gotten baptized. And they come to you several years later and say, Mom, Dad, I just don't know. I just have these feelings inside me, and I don't know if I meant what I said. Listen, don't say, oh, yeah, you meant what you said. I was there. I saw you get baptized. You meant what you said. Now, let me tell you what you're going to do. You may try to convince that kid they're saved when they didn't mean what they said or didn't understand. And you know what? They go through the rest of their life thinking and still feeling inside that they didn't know what they were doing at that time. So all I'm saying to you is make sure that everybody in the family is saved. All right, number three, here's another core of family ministry. Not only everybody fulfill their role, number two, make sure that everybody's saved. Number three, make Jesus Christ preeminent. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Okay, Jesus Christ must be preeminent. You say, what's that word mean? That means he must be number one. Okay, Colossians 1, verse 18. Are you there? And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Jesus, might have the preeminence. That means he's got to be the focal point of your home. So the core family ministry, it's not just everybody taking their role, not just everybody making sure that everybody's saved, but listen, practice consistent family devotions. Amen. See, we can all get convicted there. Now, I'm not going to take a poll, but I wonder how many of you even have a family devotion. Amen, preacher. How many of us even take time out to pray together as a family, read the Bible together as a family, have a devotion as a family, talk about the scriptures as a family? You know what? Most of us, the only time we pray together as a family is when we come down and sit down and eat supper. And that may be the only time some of you pray together. And most of that is, Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. Why? Because you're hungry, right? Now, if that's the only devotion or prayer that you have as a family, Jesus ain't preeminent. He's got to be preeminent. He's got to be number one. You've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to cultivate that in your home. So you've got to practice consistent family prayer and devotion. Number two, allow everyone to get involved. Hey, listen, Daddy, you don't be the only one reading the scriptures. Let some of the kids read. I remember when all of our kids were at home and stuff, everybody was that had gotten to the age to where they could read. And during our devotion time, everybody would sit around and we would read, and I would read a few verses, and then we'd go from child to child to child, and they would read it. Everybody read. Everybody was involved in the devotion time. Get everybody involved. Something that my wife and I did with our kids, and listen, you can do all kinds of neat things together as a family, ministering, building memories together as a family. Man, I tell you, I remember growing up, my parents, and of course back then, I started to say video camera, wasn't a video camera, whatever kind of camera it was, the one that you had to reel. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, let's move on. In other words, like they didn't pull their phone out and film everything. Okay, but they had this little old bitty box, camera and stuff, and they could film on a reel, and it came out on this little reel about this big. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, I just want to make sure I lost my mind. But my parents were big into taking pictures and film and all. I mean, thousands and thousands of just building memories. But one of the things my wife and I did with our kids when they were younger is we would have on Saturday nights, we would have a Bible skit night. And what we would do is each one of the kids got to be the director. And they got to pick who all was going to be the actors and who all was going to do the various things. And I remember one of my kids decided that they wanted to have a Bible skit on Job. And they said, Dad, we want you to be Job. And then all of these, you know, and they picked out who they wanted to be the three friends, and who was, I guess my wife was Job's wife, And they said, now, Dad, in order to, for you to be Job and stuff, you got to dress up. So I went there and got me a sheet, you know, and I put a sheet on. They said, yeah, but Dad, the Bible says he had sores. So I went in there and got my wife's lipstick, and I put big old sores all over me. I went outside and got some yarn, put some yarn on my head, you know, just kind of fill out some of the bare spots. Amen, Brother Bob. Kind of, you know, just fill out the bare spots there. And boy, I went out and I got me a, I went outside and got me a piece of wood and stuff. And they were there and the skit started and I was sitting there and I was scraping myself. I was scraping. Listen, we had a blast. They cut all the lights off. My kids had made a light. It was kind of one of those lamps like this, and it's kind of got a gooseneck. And that was kind of the stage light. And so the light would be on Job, and then it would be on the friends, and they would direct the skit about these Bible characters. And so we did that ever on Saturday nights. Each one of the kids got to direct whichever skit that they wanted for whatever Bible character that they wanted to have. You know what? Just keeping Jesus Christ preeminent, keeping the Word of God alive in the home. Now, parents, let me say this. If we're going to make Jesus Christ preeminent, we've got to instruct our children on how to have a relationship with God. Would you turn in your Bible to Genesis 18 for just a moment? Turn to Genesis chapter 18 for just a second. You know, there's a lot of things that we read about Abraham and about some of the great things that we did, but I want to show you what may be one of the most impressive statements that God made about Abraham in Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 19. God said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." Now, did you notice it said, God said, "I know him," and he said, "You know what I know he's going to do? I know he's going to run his house right. I know he's going to keep me preeminent in all things." And listen to me. If parents, listen carefully. If one of the things that we fail in most of all, we fail in teaching our children how to have a relationship with Christ. Teaching them how to build a relationship, how to speak with God, to talk with God, to love him. Oh, by the way, in order to do this, you've got to have one yourself, Mom and Daddy. Amen. Folks, this might be the answer that when our kids are getting older and they graduate high school, they say, "See you, Mom, Dad. See you, church. See you, God." Why? No relationship. And if we don't teach them how to have a relationship with God, they're going to walk. Parents, we've got to train up our children in the ways of the Lord. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm chapter 78, look at verse number 1. This is a historical psalm. Speaking of the history of Israel, Psalm 78, verse 1, the scripture says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." Verse 3, "which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." You know what? It's called a ministry, folks. And you know what? One of the ministries that we have inside of our home, parents, is teaching our children the Word of God. And that, you know what? God is a good God. God is a graceful God. Oh, we need to teach them God's not out to get you. I get so tired. Well, God's out to get me. Why? What purpose would he have out to get out? Listen, the thing about it is the only reason that he would be out to do anything for you is for your good. You say, "Yeah, but he's going to discipline me." Yeah, but it's for your good. and His glory. So we've got to make Jesus Christ preeminent. All right? So there's some pitfalls to family ministry. There's core to family ministry. And then let me just finish up and let me give you some practical ministry. Family ministry. Just some practical things real quick here that I think will help. First of all, inside the home, what is the ministry? How can the husband minister to the wife? Well, according to Ephesians chapter 5, gentlemen, we're to love them. You say, but, no. God said love them as Christ loved the church. So if we're going to minister effectively, husbands to our wives, we've got to love them. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we need to care for them. We're to render to them due benevolence. We're to care for them, provide for them. We're to, now this was a toughie, gentlemen, we're to understand them. You say, impossible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Still, the scripture says, husbands, you're to dwell with your wife according to. So at least try to understand. All right? So we need to understand them. We need to know them well enough to know what to say and what not to say. Amen? Husbands, you're to meet her needs. That's ministry. And yet, listen, we neglect one of the greatest ministries that we have at our fingertips. It's ministering in our family, husbands to wives. All right, wives, how to minister to the husbands? First of all, it's very plain in Scripture. Submit to them. Submit to them. Love them. Care for them. Meet their needs in the home. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3, not only does it say that husbands are to render to their wives due benevolence, but it also says, and likewise wives to the husband as well. We're to meet their needs. Care for them, ladies. Be faithful to them. Go read Proverbs chapter 31. Boy, you're talking about a wife that was faithful and loyal to her husband. You know what? She ministered to him. He had a name in the gate. I mean, everybody'd say, you know what? Whose wife that is? That's old so-and-so's wife. Why? Because she was faithful to him, submissive to him. She ministered to her husband. So there is ministry within the home, husband to wife and wife to husband. Now let me move on and say there's ministry in the home of parents to children. Parents to children. You say, how can we minister to our kids, preacher? First of all, it's very evident, Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know, there's a lot that goes with training. Those of you that have served in the military, they sent you to boot camp. You know what they sent you there for? Training. You know why God, and by the way, kids, can I say this to you for just a moment? You ought to fall on your face before God every day and thank God He put you in a Christian home. You ought to cry out to God Almighty and thank God that you've got parents that have you in church. Well, they make me to come to church. Well, glory to God. Hey, there's a bunch of kids out there that wish their parents made them go to church. There's a bunch of them out there that could care less whether their kids are in church. Listen, they're just as content with their kids out shooting dope as they are in church. Amen. Parents, if we're going to minister to our children, we got to train them up in the way that they should go. What's the way? Right there. But may I say again, you got to know this book if you're going to communicate it to them. You got to know what the Bible says. You've got to instruct them. May I also say, be their parent, not their buddy. I'm telling you, I'm surprised I hadn't already had a nervous breakdown. Got too many parents that want to be their kid's buddy. I just want to be their buddy. I just want to, me and my son, you know what, we're buddies. Hey, I'm for that, but are you his parent? Listen, you know what buddies do? Buddies many times will not tell somebody no. They'll let them do whatever they want, go wherever they want, say whatever they want. All I'm saying to you, church, is parents, be a parent. You know what your child, deep down inside, you know what they want you to do? They want you to tell them no. They want you to say, no, you're not doing this. You're not going there. You're not having a sleepover somewhere. Amen. May I say to you next, when parents ministering to their children. Daddies, I want you to listen to me. It's important that you have a relationship with your children. And daddies, listen to me. It's very important that you have a daddy-loving relationship with your daughter. There is a void there that's going to be filled somewhere. And daddy, if you don't fulfill that void, Satan will send an old nasty boy by to fill it for you. Have a relationship, daddy, with your little girls. Take them out. Spend some time. Have a date time with them. Take them out and get them some ice cream. Go to the park. Listen to me, daddies. Don't ever be too busy to pay attention to your children. Because if you don't, there's going to come a day they're not going to pay attention to you in your old age. Mamas, you need to have a relationship with your kids. And mama, may I say on the flip side, it's important for you to have a relationship with your son. Take them out. Spend time with them. Hey, the thing about it is, it just listen, all the birds and the bees, that don't just come natural. Somebody's got to tell them. And you know, better to come from mom and dad than from a school teacher. Okay, better to come from you, mom and dad. That way at least they can ask questions and get a straight answer from the Bible. Well, let me finish this up and say, all right, how can the children minister to the parents? May I say to you, kids, first of all, the Scripture says, obey. Obey. You say, that's a cuss word. Yeah, I know, but I'm going to say it again. Obey. You say, well, what if I don't agree? It doesn't matter whether you agree. Obey. Now, I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen to me quick, real quick, young people. You obeying your mom and daddy may save your life one day. May save your life. My oldest brother, when he was 16 years old, my parents told him, not to go do something. He was going to go spend some time with a friend. They were going to go to a ball game, and my parents told him not to. He did it anyway. They were in a 1968 VW. Coming home from that football game, missed a curb, rolled down an embankment, and my brother spent 6 months with his jaws wired shut and sucking through a straw, literally almost caved his entire face in that accident. Broke an arm, messed his kneecap up, and you know what? He's 55 years old today. There's about a five-year difference between us. And he reminds me of that because now in those joints and stuff that he broke, he's got arthritis in them now. All because he didn't obey. And let me tell you something, kids. You listen to mom and dad. You may not understand the wisdom behind it now, but I promise you, you will in the future. You love them. The Scripture says you honor them. You obey. You say, what does that honor mean? That means you love them. It's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, sir, no, sir. Thank you. Listen, how many's the last time you kids, when mama put a meal in front of you and you ate that meal, how many times have you looked at mama and said, mama, thank you for the meal? Hey, when I was a kid, let me tell you something, we couldn't even get up from the table until we excused ourselves or got permission to get up. Amen. Now we got kids today, listen, they eat, and it's like it's mom and dad, that's their duty to feed them. Amen. So children, obey your mom and dad. Love them. Honor them. You say, what for? Last time I checked, they brought you into this world. And may I remind you, they took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. They changed your stinky diaper when you couldn't change it yourself. They took you to the doctor and paid for it so that you could go to the doctor and get medication. Hey, they took care of you. They taught you. They loved you. They fed you. They clothed you. And by the time it's all said and done, listen, when I was a teenager, when I was a senior in high school, we did a little study there, and this was back in the 70s, that by the time a parent raised a child from birth to 18 years old, they will have invested over $18,000 per child into that one kid. My parents had five. And you know what? My parents weren't wealthy people. You say, where'd that $18,000 go? Diapers, formula, shoes. Hey, I'll just say this again. I'm going to throw it out. It doesn't matter what I guess if anybody likes it. Listen, my parents, they didn't buy us name brand stuff. They didn't. We'd go, but I want this one. No, you're getting this one. Hey, listen, I know this sounds weird to most of you, but listen to me. You know what? Tennis shoes, for a good portion of my life, I wore Keds. Converse high tops. Amen. Kids, you ain't got to have the best of everything. Matter of fact, parents, I'm not so sure if we're not doing ourselves an injustice by giving them everything, name brand. And by the way, the thing about it is, my parents said, you know what? All we're paying for, listen, I remember my dad would go buy jeans. He wouldn't even buy us Levi's because he said, all you're doing is paying for the tag. He wouldn't even buy us Levi's. So, what'd you buy? I don't know. I don't know what they were. Just generic brand. He wouldn't even buy name brand stuff. Well, let me show you one last verse. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And every young person, turn with me here too. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. Let me say lastly, kids, you want to minister to mom and dad? It is your obligation, biblical obligation, to take care of them in their old age. Or, if mama becomes a widow, or daddy a widower, 1 Timothy 5, verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. But, look at this, young people, if any widow have what? What does it say? If any women have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. In other words, take care of them, pay back to them, nurture them. For that is good and acceptable before who? That means if you don't, you are not right with God. Amen. My parents are still living, but you know one of the responsibilities that I will have and my brothers and sisters, take care of my parents in their old age. He said, but what if they have to come live with me? Then glory to God. Then you know what? Then maybe in their old age, they'll take some crayons and write on your walls and go jump on your bed. Amen. You say, but what are you, mama, daddy, what are you doing? What are you writing on my walls for? Just pay back. Remember, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a child soweth, that shall he also reap from mom and daddy in their old age. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say tonight, preacher, I'm born again. No question about it. I'm saved. Slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm saved. No question about it.